Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hi there, it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus. You may know me from my podcast called Wiser Than Me, where I talk to older women and get their wisdom from the front lines of life. I was amazed by how many people told me our show made them look forward to getting older, which is why I'm here to talk about season two of the show. Sally Field, Billie Jean King, Beverly Johnson, Ina Garten, Bonnie Raitt, just to name a few. All hail old women. Wiser Than Me season two is out now from Lemonada Media.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Doug hates candy wrappers, screaming baby sticky seeds with 50 ads and popcorn kernels in his teeth. There's still not one that he won't see, 'cause Doug loves movies.
Hey everybody, my name is Doug and I love movies. This is Doug Loves Movies, coming to you from yet another rental car. What kind of car is this, Graham?
Doug, we're in a delightful 2010 Toyota Camry.
Seems all right to me.
That's a good car. I like Toyotas. I own one currently. It's good. They're good automobiles.
And we're driving from Flagstaff, Arizona to Phoenix, Arizona on Sunday, November 13th, to Ocean's 11. Last night, we, as in Graham Elwood and I, we did a show for 201 Nice Peeps at the Orpheum Theater in lovely downtown Flagstaff. Yeah. I fell in love with the place.
Flagstaff is great. I haven't been here in a long time. And it was awesome. And the show was fun. That downtown is really cool. And it's, you know, the only thing, that just the high elevation made my, I got a little lightheaded on stage. I did some bit out of order. I can't, like, because I lost my place because I was jumping around on stage and then I got lightheaded.
Yeah, you're a regular Rick Perry up there.
I'm a wingnut.
You had about 20 name tags to choose from, I'm guessing. Maybe 30.
Yeah.
Out of 200 people.
Yeah.
So podcasting may not be that huge in Flagstaff, but those that did come made some nice name tags for you to choose from. And you picked Ginny, who chose the category. It was Anne Hathaway's birthday yesterday, so she chose Anne Hathaway category. And let me just, for the listeners, for fun, for them to play along, the film was from 2010, and Leonard Maltin gave it 3 stars, and he's called it imaginative, ambitious, inconsistent, and he gave it 3 stars, and one of the four names, there was three names, it got down to 4 names, and you had to name it, and one of the 4 names was Crispin Glover. Take your hands off her, Biff. And you thought, in your head, you thought it was Love and Other Drugs, but you could not think of the name Love and Other Drugs. It was so funny. You were like, oh, Anne Hathaway's like sick. She's got some sort of disease.
Yeah, Jake Gyllenhaal's in it, and damn it.
Did you say Anne Hathaway's naked a lot? Because that is true. No. If you want to see Anne Hathaway naked a lot, I mean, you also have to see Jake Gyllenhaal naked too, but if you want to see Anne Hathaway naked a lot, rent Love and Other Drugs. That's the only thing I can recommend about it.
I can't quit you.
And so anyway, the actual answer was Alice in Wonderland.
I never saw that movie. That's why it threw me, because I never saw.
Yeah, well, as soon as I said Crispin Glover, I was like, well, this name should tip it, because he plays, he's like one of the Queen's, henchman, you know, and he had, you know, typical weird Crispin Glover performance, which I am most of the time am for. I usually like that guy.
Yeah. Go watch River's Edge if you want to see Crispin Glover totally wigged out. Like, the best Crispin Glover you could get.
Yeah, he's crazy in that, and then, but he's fun in that first Charlie's Angels as the guy that doesn't ever speak and just fights really good. And anyway, you, listeners, can play the Leonard Maltin game against Graham Elwood in San Jose at the Improv on Sunday, November 20th at 4:20. The San Diego, in a nice club downtown San Diego in the Gas Lamp District called Tipsy Crow on November 23rd. Fort Lauderdale Improv on Monday, December 12th, and the West Palm Beach Improv on Tuesday, December 13th. Apologies to Miami. We were supposed to be there, but we canceled that and then added West Palm Beach because I figure that's close enough for the 20 or so people that had already bought tickets to Miami to just drive over there. And if you can't drive over there, hopefully we'll show up in Miami sometime next year.
Yeah.
Probably, maybe in the wintertime, because, you know, I love Florida in the winter.
Love it.
Benson Interruption Podcast Episode 10 is available now or soon in the Comedy Albums section of iTunes. We taped it at Chris Hardwick's Nerd Melt Theater behind Meltdown Comics on Sunset Boulevard in Los Angeles. Mark Maron, Chris Hardwick, Rob Delaney, Ali Wong, and you love Ali Wong.
Yeah, she's hilarious.
And who was the fourth person? Oh, Matt Besser.
Oh, nice.
So it was a great show.
Rob
great
Delaney's show. A very funny man, too.
Oh, his tweets are goddamn ridiculous. And you, Graham, you should do a comedy film nerd show at Nerd Melt.
I think we're going to try to put that together. There's been discussions of that. When we had Jonah Ray on Comedy Film Nerds, we talked about that. So we'll make that. That'll happen in 2012.
Dude, get one in December. Why
Let's
not?
Let's do it. December. Gonna be done.
All right. This is something I just need to clear up. It's Cillian Murphy. You know that guy, that really good actor who's in Red Eye? He's the bad guy in Red Eye.
Yeah,
spoiler.
Yeah.
And he was in Dark Knight, and he had a bigger part in Batman Begins.
It's pronounced Cillian.
Yeah. And some people got so mad at me on some message board just screaming about how... Get it straight, it's Cillian. He's a good actor, and I didn't mean to mispronounce his name. It was on Who Charted that Kulop, and you know, I mean, Kulop, her last name is Vilisak, so you know, I think she gets mispronounced enough that she can mangle Cillian if she wants. She's got a license to fuck up Cillian.
Hey, go for it.
Yeah. And also, he should spell it Cillian with a K.
Yeah.
Save us all the trouble.
Yeah, stop the nonsense.
Actors change their names all the time. Last Monday, I went to a tastemaker screening of Rampart, the latest film from the director of The Messenger, which is a favorite of yours.
Yeah.
You love that movie. Yeah. I never got around to seeing it.
It's an excellent movie.
Woody Harrelson got nominated for Best Actor for that, right?
It's such a good movie, and now I'm blanking on the co-star with Woody Harrelson.
Ben Foster.
Ben Foster. Man, Ben Foster's excellent in this movie.
Well, he produced Rampart, and the same guy wrote and directed it, co-wrote it, I think, Owen Moverman, I want to say his name is.
Hey, producer Matt Belknap here. Woody Harrelson got nominated for a Best Supporting Actor Oscar for The Messenger, and it was directed by Oren, not Owen Moverman.
And they had a screening at, I won't say which agency, but a big agency in L.A. had a tastemaker screening where they have their screening room, and a small group of people show up, and Diane Lane was in the audience, was exciting.
She's
awesome.
I fell in love with her from Rumblefish.
Oh, dude, I mean, all the way back to her first movie, what was with Laurence Olivier, and she played a little, she was only like 14 or 15.
Matt Belknap here. Doug is thinking of A Little Romance from 1979.
And it took place in Europe, and it was like a romance with her and this boy that went on to never be in anything ever again. I think he worked again, but anyway, and then she was in those Coppola movies. And she was in, she's super sexy, great side boob in Cotton Club.
Great side boob, guys. Yeah. Come for the music, stay for the side.
Well, you know Graham, it is Side Boob Sunday.
Oh, that's right, Side Boob Sunday.
So, anyway, the screening of Rampart, it comes on, and it is blisteringly loud, and it's a drama about Woody Harrelson plays a... potentially, the poster says he's the most corrupt cop in any movie ever, which I don't know why they would tip that on the poster. But, and I don't know ultimately if he's more corrupt than Bad Lieutenant or some of the other corrupt cops with Denzel Washington Training Day. I don't know, because the sound was so loud and so bad that I sat there getting a headache for like 30 minutes, and they finally turned it off, and they're like, sorry, we're going to try to fix it. Then they couldn't fix it. Then they tried showing a DVD, but then it said property of the company that made the movie along the bottom. So the director was there, and Ben Foster was there too, and they just pulled the plug on it. They're just like, sorry, you know, we'll send you a screener if you want. So I saw 30 minutes of what I thought was, you know, a pretty intriguing movie, and I recommend it, especially if you want to watch Woody Harrelson suck on a woman's toe. Just sucking on her big toe.
Oh, yeah.
Just going at it. Because that's what corrupt cops do.
So corrupt. So corrupt. Guys with foot fetishes are always corrupt.
But on another headache-inducing movie adventure, Friday night I saw Adventures of Tintin, Secret of the Unicorn, and I liked it a lot. It's really very entertaining. But I just I can always do without the 3D. Like I just don't need it. It gives it some depth. There's an occasional thing that kind of pops out at you, you know. And at least it was made in 3D. I'll give it credit for that. But I don't know. I'm still. It looks really cool. But the thing I liked about the movie is it's like an animated Raiders of the Lost Ark movie, and it's almost like practically a sequel in my mind to the style of the first Raiders, which wasn't really captured in Temple of Doom as much as I love that, and then, you know, totally went to shit in the next few, in my opinion. So I had a great idea. They should make a animated Raiders of the Lost Ark, because then Harrison Ford could keep playing the role, and he's not some old man. He could play him as a, you know, reasonably young man and just animate it.
Yeah, we don't have to have Shia LaBeouf jammed down our throats.
Yeah. Which is sort of, Tintin is sort of like, you know, he's a kind of a kid detective, and Simon Pegg and Nick Frost do voices of the Thompson twins, which later became a band. These two detectives that wear bowler hats, and I, you know, fortunately, since I did the podcast with Simon Pegg once, I actually have, you know, he follows me on Twitter, so I can actually write to him. So I wrote to him, I said, great job in Tintin. Were you the guy in the bowler hat or the guy in the bowler hat? Because they look exactly the same. And he wrote back to me, I was the one in the bowler hat. So that was fun. I can't wait till Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol comes out, because I'll tweet him some asinine comment about that. Probably something along the lines of, I think you should use Ghost Protocol in your everyday life. I love that expression, Ghost Protocol.
Ghost Protocol.
Like, I think I've already said this on a podcast, but doesn't Tom Cruise like get kicked out of that agency in every Mission Impossible? Doesn't he go rogue every time? So why is that different? But it still looks cool. It looks like a cool movie. Don't forget about the Weezer Cruise, WeezerCruise.com. Graham Elwood is up for possibly being one of the comics who joins me and two of the guys from Weezer for a taping of Doug Lowe's movies on the boat on our way to sunny, beautiful Cozumel.
We'll be doing a podcast on a boat.
That's right. Well, now nobody will vote for you because you said that.
On a boat?
Yeah. They're like, stop saying that.
But we'll be on a boat.
And Nikki Glaser also is in the running.
She'll be on a boat.
You're competing with her. Yeah, she's going to be on a boat. You're going to be on a pier.
On a dinghy.
One more thing before we get into the gameplay part of our drive today. As soon as Brett Ratner dropped out of producing the next Oscars, I knew Eddie Murphy was going to bail. Because it seems to me like Eddie Murphy is afraid of being relevant again. Like he was doing it because his buddy Brett Ratner was producing it, and he convinced him, you know.
Right.
And I don't think that would have been good. I really don't. After watching Tower Heist and seeing how the comedy those two create together, I don't know what, you know, what was he going to do on the Oscars? Come out and be a fast-talking criminal guy? You know, like...
Brett Ratner, I mean, I don't know.
I mean, I don't necessarily think Brett Ratner should have been fired for using the word fags at a private Q&A somewhere.
Right.
He said rehearsals for fags when they asked him how much he's going to rehearse the Oscars. And, you know, yeah, so you laugh. Like, it's... I don't necessarily think that makes him the world's biggest homophobe, but I also think that, you know, in his everyday life, he kind of comes off like somebody that's probably is a homophobe, so... They gave him the old heave-ho.
Well, you know, I mean, I think it's a little gay.
That's what he should have done, is released, because he released a statement being very like, yeah, you know, that was a rude thing to say and inappropriate, and I should step down and not produce the Oscars. But that would have been funny if he said, you know, but the fact that everybody got so upset about it is a little gay. That's the unfortunate thing, is that, you know, to heterosexual males and, you know, maybe some women as well, like, we've known some women that throw around the word fag, like, in a silly way, you know, it's just sort of become...
Yeah.
We don't mean anything by it.
It's you know, yes, society evolves to stop using certain words, and, you know... That's a good thing, and most of the time when it's said, at least for me, I'm saying it like I'm 12, like you said, when, you know, but, I don't know, it's
just seems like not enough to get fired from the Oscars over. He also went on Howard Stern and said a bunch of stuff about people he's fucked and stuff, so.
What?
He name-checked some actress that he hooked up with, now I can't remember who it was.
That's not cool.
I think it was Diane Lane when she was making that movie with Lawrence Olivier.
Wow.
Shall we play a game?
Yes.
No, not thermonuclear war. It's Build a Title.
Yes.
Today's Build a Title is themed with the theme Arizona, because we're in it.
Bam.
To win it. And I'm going to start with a film that, according to Wikipedia, so it could be completely wrong, could have taken place in New Jersey, since Wikipedia is my source.
Yeah.
But supposedly the film Comes a Horseman.
Oh, yeah.
Was filmed in Flagstaff.
Oh, yeah, dude. I think that's a John Ford movie, or is that Howard Hawks?
I don't think it's either of them. It's somebody who's very old when he made it, though. And it starred Jane Fonda and Henry Fonda, I think. No, not Henry Fonda.
This came out in the late 60s?
No. It is 70s, I think.
Oh.
I'm going to look it up real quick, because now I'm intrigued.
Wait, is Jason Robards in this movie?
I think so, yeah. I think he got nominated for an Oscar for it. Maybe even won. Because he won 2 years in a row. He won for All the President's Men. Oh, no, he won for Julia and All the President's Men, I think. Again, you know, you guys, don't quote me on this stuff. But I think I'm right. But I'm going to look up Comes a Horseman just because I saw it today on the list, and I remembered that Jane Fonda was in it. And I remember when I saw it, I was young, and I thought it was boring. But it got some acclaim. we're driving, you know, we're driving down from the mountains, so, like,
No internet.
I don't have internet service to look it up. So we'll have Matt Belknap's voice come in and...
Insane.
And explain the name of the Diane Lane movie and what Comes a Horseman is.
Comes a Horseman from 1978 starred James Caan, Jane Fonda, and Jason Robards, and was directed by Alan J. Pakula. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly.
I'm Matt Belknap. Comes a Horseman was directed by...
That's what he sounds like when he does that.
Totally sounds like
that. Perfect impression.
I'm Matt Belknap. I'm Sasquatch.
So you need to come up with a movie, Graham, that ends in the word comes, or begins with the word horseman or man.
Comes. Something wicked this way comes.
Yeah.
By the prickling of my thumbs, Doug. Something wicked this way comes.
Now... That, of course, is Ray Bradbury story they turned into a movie maybe more than once. Definitely once with Jonathan Pryce. It was a Disney movie back when Disney was like trying to make more adult fare, but still appeal to a family audience. Okay, so something, it ends in something. Blank something. I don't know if there is.
Like Wicked This Way Comes a Horseman. Okay.
Yeah, that's so I'm gonna go Man of the Year.
Ooh-hoo.
So something wicked this way comes a horse man of the year.
Man of the year of the dragon.
Okay, and I'll add Slayer to Dragon.
Oh, you son of a bitch.
So we've got something wicked this way comes a horseman of the year of the dragon slayer.
Dragon Slayer liar.
You idiot.
Yes.
Nobody's ever pronounced it Slayer.
I'm sure there's somebody.
Let's go see Dragon Slayer.
Yes. There's some gentleman in the UK that pronounced it.
no way. Can't do it.
All right.
Get too many people yelling at me.
Well,
I'll never get over accepting Sandalot. Especially since Camelot was right there for the taking.
Whoever will be yelling at you, they will not have an English accent. All right, so what is it now?
It has to end in some or something. Oh, no.
Something or Slayer? Dragon Slayer?
Begin with Slayer. You can't say Slayer, comma, Buffy, the.
Yeah, that's bullshit. Fuck it.
Yeah, so what do you got for something? Come and get some. How the West was some. Oh, no. Damn. Rising some. Some
that
awesome.
Wesley Snipes.
Yes, Sean Connery.
Sean Connery movie.
Awesome thing wicked this way comes. I don't think there's a movie that ends in awesome. You like some.
There's some movie in the 80s called Girls Are Awesome.
No. But on the other end, I've got Dragon Slayer Cake.
Oh, you son of a bitch.
Yeah, is there something that begins with cake?
Yeah.
There is?
Sure.
What is it?
Cake Squad.
That's a reality show about teams of dessert makers.
Cakes of Pain.
This week on Cake Squad.
Cake Squad. Can Johnny get his frosting maker to work on time?
Yeah, because sometimes those frosting makers will shut down on you, and you're against the clock.
That drives me nuts about those shows. I hate watching them, and just seeing an ad for them is so maddening, because they create this drama that's life and death, and it's always something that stupid. Like, and then they show the head guy going, "Your frostings are a disgrace. Oh, you're kicked off the frosting team." Yeah, who gives a shit? Start your own cake squad.
All right, let's start our own. New build a title. We hit, that one. We'll go ahead and end that. Send your rageful, what you've been yelling into your listening device, answers to either Graham at Graham Elwood or at Doug Benson on Twitter. Something wicked this way comes a horseman of the year of the Dragon Slayer Cake.
That's pretty good.
Not bad. Okay. Also shot in Flagstaff. Not all of it, obviously, but part of it. Midnight Run.
Oh, God. Midnight Run's such a great movie.
Yeah, I love that movie.
I mean, God, there's so many great lines in that movie. Oh, my God. He's trying to say, let's go in and do this scam. And Robert De Niro goes, if you try to run. And Charles Grodin goes, yeah, I know you'll hit me with a thing and put me in a thing. Right.
All right, so you have to, it has to end at midnight or start with run?
Running Scared.
Man.
No. I'm changing that.
Okay.
Run Silent, Run Deep, a submarine movie from the 50s.
All right.
I'm changing it up.
Run Silent, Run Deep, Impact.
Oh!
Yeah,
what's something that ends at midnight?
Oh,
and you can't say in the garden of good and evil, comma, midnight.
Yeah, yeah. Midnight. Death Before Midnight.
Really? Who's in that?
Johnny Hotbone and Susie Frisky.
I can't believe Hotbone and Frisky never made another movie.
It was they were the Redford and Newman of their generation.
But a man and a woman, right?
Right, exactly.
Okay.
Wasn't Newman transgender?
They were the male female version of Newman and Redford. I know there's something that ends in midnight.
Yeah.
Isn't there something like 15 minutes till midnight?
Yeah, yeah, there is like...
Is that Charles Bronson, maybe?
Yes. Yes.
Doug and Graham are thinking of 10 to Midnight from 1983.
15 minutes till midnight.
All right, that's another thing we'll have to check on.
I already get internet right now? Are we back in an internet zone?
Let me see. It'd be exciting if we were.
God, it would be exciting.
I'd like to thwart Matt Belknap's intrusions.
Oh, I'm Matt Belknap.
Oh, my God. Here's a guy in a swanky Lincoln Continental pickup truck. Hey, asshole. Here's what you do. You get a Lincoln Continental, if that's what you want, or you get a fucking Chevy or a Ford pickup. You're a dick.
That thing is huge.
It's stupid. Ugh. Shit, birds.
It's searching, searching.
Searching, searching, searching.
Well, let's go 15 minutes till midnight.
All right.
And then, now I gotta think of something that ends at 15. There's a, you know, of course, the TV movie James at 15.
Oh my God, yeah.
But that doesn't count.
Robbie Benson.
No, it was Lance Kerwin.
Wait, what was Robbie Benson in?
He wasn't really a TV movie guy. He was an actual theatrical movie guy. He was in
that basketball
One-on-One.
Yeah.
He was in a few movies, but One-on-One is the movie where he goes, they got crocodiles in Florida or whatever. Wherever he went to school in that movie, he's like talking about crocodiles, but he's got that voice. Crocodiles. I still to this day don't believe that's really him as the voice of the Beast in Beauty and the Beast. Because he's so like, I'm Robbie Benson. And he's like, oh, Beast! Like, well, I guess I just did it, so anybody can. 15. Oh, there's got to be something that ends in 15. Or fifth. Element, comma, fifth.
Oh, I got
take
one.
Take the fifth. For Deep Impact, you got something?
Yeah.
Whoa. Let's hear it.
The Package. With Gene Hackman.
Oh, you mean The Packed Itch?
The Packed Itch.
Gotta stick that T in there?
The Packed Itch.
You're just a full-time cheater. All right, well, let's quit this one. 15 minutes till midnight, run, silent run, Deep Impact. Which I would go see. That sounds awesome. That sounds like the most action-packed movie ever made. Listen, you guys, we've got 15 minutes till midnight, run, silent run, Deep Impact. That's like the code word for the meteor that's headed to Earth.
Bam.
Phoenix, Arizona is where we're headed. So let's do one more. Motion picture that was supposedly shot in Phoenix called Days of Thunder.
Oh!
When Tom Cruise played one of the better character names in the history of terrible character names, a race car driver named Cole Trickle.
Cole Trickle. God, that movie's so great. That's so... oh my God, Robert Duvall's in that? That's an excellent movie.
That's where Nicole Kidman and Tom Cruise met.
Yep.
She was smoking cigarettes. That's her character, smoke cigarettes. So, Days of Thunder. Ends in days, begins with thunder.
Glory Days.
Okay. I'm going to go Glory Days of Thunderbolt and Lightfoot.
Thunderbolt and Lightfoot loose. The Kevin Bacon version.
Okay, yeah, we gotta be clear. It's Kevin Bacon, not...
No,
oh, now I can't think of his name. No, I'll think of it. No, I won't. Glory. Blades of Glory.
Blades of Glory. Nice.
Yeah, Blades might be a stopper, though. What can you do with loose? Kenny Wormald is the new is the new Kevin Bacon.
It's the new Kevin Bacon.
Well, they tried to make, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, got it. All right, so I have Blades and Loose, mm-hmm. Foot Loose.
Yeah, and you can't do Zorro the Gay Blades.
Why not?
Or you'll be fired from the Oscars.
Loose Cannon. Cannon?
Yes, okay. I was going to say, like Alex Trebek likes to say, more specific.
Yeah.
Loose cannons. Now we're really in trouble.
Cannons.
Blades and cannons.
Yeah.
For it.
That's a title right there. We should try to get that greenlit. That would be a perfect name for a pirate movie. There is pirate fighting in Tintin, that is fantastic. There's some really good action sequences in Tintin. The more I think about it, the more I like it. I just didn't like having to wear the 3D glasses the whole time. So I look forward to watching it again, like on, TV or whatever.
Yeah, I saw Harold and Kumar, which has good 3D effects in it, but again, the glasses just...
It's just weird to have to wear them the whole time, and they get... The ones for Tintin were, like, really... They were high-tech, but they were just so bulky, and it just gives me a headache. I feel like such a dumb old man sitting there, you know, uncomfortable because I'm watching a movie. I don't think there's anything that ends in Blades. You know, there's the Blade movies with that tax-evading lunatic. And then there's... Wow, Wesley Snipes keeps coming up. Then Cannons. Oh, shit! Oh, shit!
Oh, what do you got?
Blades of Glory, Days of Thunderbolt, and Lightfoot, Loose Cannons on the Run.
Oh, you asshole!
So you need something that begins with run.
Running Scared. I go back to that. I did not use it. Instead, I use Run Silent, Run Deep on the last one. I go to Running Scared.
Yeah, in both cases, you use ones that are hard to add to.
Yep, that's what I like.
Running Scared. Because, like, what starts with scared?
Oh, buddy.
I don't think anything.
Some horror movie fan listening right now is going, yeah, that's fucking...
Oh, yeah, like Scared Shitless or Scared Fuckface.
Scared Fuckface? Scared
Cunt Wagon. I like to swear because you're allowed to in podcasting.
Scared Cunt Wagon. What the fuck?
All right, so we've got Blades of Glory, Days of Thunderbolt, and Lightfoot Loose Cannons on the Running Scared Cunt Wagon.
I need to know the log line to Scared Cunt Wagon before we do anything else.
There's a bus trip. And it's a bunch of people. It's a bunch of people running. They're running for president. Get in a bus to go to a summit to have a debate. And then the ghost of reasonable thinking attacks them, and hence it becomes a scared cunt wagon. You got any plugs, Graham?
Yes, I do have a plug. You can download my documentary, Laughganistan, as a pay what you think is fair download. That is available. Everything is available if you just go to grahamelwood.com. You can get my tour dates, my CD, Comedian's Got a Boo-Boo. I got a new CD that's going to be coming out soon.
As long as you're paying, can I suggest what they pay for it? Do you mind?
Sure.
Pay $7.35.
Sure, we want to go arbitrary numbers.
I'm just saying, you could pay what you want, is the idea of it.
Right, pay what you want.
You could pay a penny?
Yep.
But come on, don't be an asshole. Don't
be a dick.
Don't ride over your computer in a cunt wagon.
And fucking drop some squirrely number.
Yeah. 7.35 is I think is a good.
It's a great number.
Good reasonable amount because you're still getting a great deal, but yeah. you're also having a good laugh because now I want a bunch of $7.35 yes. amounts to come up on your thing, and every time you'll just be like, "Oh, cunt wagon." That's the special cunt wagon price.
That's the cunt wagon. Type in cunt wagon in the promo code, and you'll get the movie for $7.35.
I'll be at the Louis Anderson Theater at the Palace Station in Las Vegas, and we're about to crash into a car to just cut us off. That was exciting.
Yeah.
This is like a scene from It's a Mad, 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 Mad World. Lots of cars jockeying for a position on a winding mountain road. Palace Station, Louis Anderson Theater in Vegas. You can play, that's going to be on December 4, and you can play the Leonard Maltin game against the opening act, David Huntsberger. Then Irvine Improv, the day after Christmas.
That's right.
With the aforementioned Graham Elwood. You can come down and play the Leonard Maltin game against him if you have a good name tag and get chosen.
Cunt wagons get in free?
Nobody gets in free. Especially cunt wagons.
Cunt wagons pay double.
But I'll be taping Doug Loves Movies at Flappers in Burbank on Thursday, December 29th at 10 p.m. It's between Christmas and New Year's. Oh. What better do you have to do, Burbank?
Perfect.
Come on over to Flappers.
It's a good club.
It's fun.
It's a fun club.
Yeah. And thanks. Thank you again, Graham, for doing another great rental car episode.
Thank you.
That some people enjoy and a lot of people just don't listen to. And as always, Cunt Wagon is a shithead.
Shithead. Oh, and Penn State's a shithead.
Oh, how did you get that in there?
Now it's time for Doug to watch another talkie. Eyes of gold, his viewing prowess makes him cocky. There's no room in his heart for you, 'cause Doug...